Welcome back. This is a perfect choice on The Drive, Chuck, on Motown Monday, because a lot of times the work of a true journalist is based on things that are heard through the grapevine.
Okay.
You see, see the connection I'm making?
They go digging for the truth.
Yes. And joining us now, and I always say it, and it was never more apparent than reading his recap of what happened yesterday at the first PGA tournament since all this stuff started. Our dear, dear friend Chuck Culpepper, writing in the Washington Post. Well, let's say hello to him, and then because I like embarrassing him,
sure.
Kinda.
Well,
hi,
sure.
Chuck.
Hello, I'm embarrassed.
Wait, I haven't even started yet. Here's what I'm going to say. I read a lot of, I have a golf show on this station. I'm a huge golf fanatic. I'm an award winner, Chuck. I don't know if you know this. I'm an award-winning media representative for golf. I don't even know if you knew that.
I don't think I knew that. I thought you meant you were an award winner, that you had won a major.
Well, it was a major award.
I lost in a playoff one time, but I'll send you a picture of my award. Anyway, what you wrote yesterday, summing up the craziness that happened, particularly yesterday in the final round of the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, was as good a recap of a golf tournament as I think I've ever read. And I mean that. And you can put,
thank you so much.
You can put that with whoever you consider the great writers in sports, but in general. And I mean it. I just sat reading it and going, I just shake my head when I read your writing because it's so fantastic. So there.
Thank you so much.
Now,
thank you. I don't know where we continue on from here.
Okay, thanks. We'll talk to you at what, Sean?
Before you get going deep. I didn't even make it through the first paragraph before I had to go to the dictionary and look up a word.
Was it zoonotic?
Zoonotic, yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that word till the year 2020 either.
Yeah, I kind of suspected what it meant, but I had to go confirm.
Okay, tell the listeners what it means.
Terrible word.
It is a disease that jumps from an animal population to a human population.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we don't. Yeah.
That's a quick and dirty explanation of it.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah. But he did. And there are other phrases that I'll get to that you used where I literally, and I always do this with your writing, I go, how did you, after every, you think everything's been written, they've been playing golf and writing about it for all these years. How did he come up with that? First of all, talk to us a little bit about being there. And just the feeling, no fans, we all know the whole story, the testing procedures, all that kind of stuff. Just tell us what it was like to actually be there.
Well, there's so many veins I could go with that, but I'll go with this.
Do it.
Yesterday, walking around, I think this kid, Colin Morikawa, young man, he's 23, is going to be really something. I'm just completely convinced.
Yeah.
And so I walked around and followed him for a while, and with no fans, you realize there was always an automatic guide for kind of where to walk and where not to walk, because the crowd was in the places, shepherded by marshals that it was supposed to be and not where it wasn't supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But when there's nobody except a few marshals here and there, and then no marshals for like a long stretches.
Yeah.
You worry about, I'm here to cover the action. I don't want to end up being part of the action, like wandering into somebody's round, That was the strange part of yesterday.
Wow.
And the 11 and 14 fairways kind of run next to each other in opposite directions, and there's a walkway across through them, and I was on that, and I heard this thwack, like a drive. And that's the other thing is, instantly I thought, oh my God, someone's back at the tee driving, someone who's entered in this competition.
And I'm walking in the crosswalk.
And I'm walking in the crosswalk right now. And even stranger, there wasn't anybody back there because I just checked that I, you know what?
Yeah.
And even stranger is the fact that that sound came from another hole, which you would never hear that sound when there's a big crowd around.
Right.
You know, you could hear shots from other holes. You know, when on the first 2 days when they tee off from 1 and 10, which are near each other at that course, the guy who's on 10 had to wait for the guy on 1 to hit it.
Yeah.
And then hit it so the sound wouldn't throw him off in the middle of his swing. All kinds of oddities.
Like yeah. That. While I was watching it, you would see that. I remember Brooks Koepka had to step back from one of the tees and wait for exactly that situation. And but I have to say, in a strange way, I was talking to Sean about this. Maybe I'm crazy, but I actually really like watching golf without spectators. I really do.
Do you feel like it's pure? That's not the word I was looking for, but
I'm not sure exact. I can't really put my finger on it, except first of all, we have nobody yelling mashed potatoes or go in
well,
the hole.
Helps.
I mean, yeah, that helps.
That does
yeah,
help. Yeah.
That helps. But yeah. I feel like it's more and of course I'm not saying we're this good, but I feel like it's more of when I play with my friends, it's more of that, except we're watching Superman play golf. But it's almost the same thing. We walk the fairways. There's nobody around. And I like the shots that the cameras are getting don't include a lot of the fans. And a lot, there's no extraneous stuff, I think, is what I like the most. It's just the players and the golf course. And I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. They're just fewer distractions.
Yeah.
Just for one who really loves the game.
Yep. Now, you mentioned Murakawa, and Daniel Berger, who won yesterday, is a great story also.
Yes.
But Murakawa, I've talked about him before. For people listening that don't know, has been on the tour a little more than a year. He is a transcendent star rising on this tour. And can you explain watching that 17th hole we had, and I talked about it on our show earlier, we had two power lip-outs on the same green with the same cup on 17 that basically determined what was going to happen in the tournament yesterday. Two lip outs that cost a chance for Murakawa in the playoff and Xander Schauffele in regulation to actually win this tournament, and it was gasp inducing.
Yeah, both of them. Schauffele, the one who also, by the way, five top six finishes out of 11 majors played so far. He's gonna win one. There's no question.
He's gonna win a lot more than one, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And his lip out took a tour all the way around
the
course and kind of came back sort of toward him.
Yeah.
And then Morikawa's hit the right edge and just sort of vomited itself to the left.
You'd said that.
Projectile spat it over to the left, you know? It was shocking. The poor thing, I hope he'll gain something from it, you know. I don't know what it would be, but
And again, you've covered enough and you've written brilliantly about it enough that, and we say it kind of nonchalantly, but that's golf. I mean, Xander Schauffele had made, 1,000 feet of putts last week. He didn't have a three putt until Sunday the whole time, and he loses a chance to get to win or to get into a playoff on a 3-foot putt. It's golf.
Yeah. Yeah. Its meanness has stretched across centuries and will never cease.
Now, Sean, I want you to listen to this. This is one of the phrases I'm talking about that our friend Chuck Culpepper wrote. Okay. Daniel Berger, who ended up winning in the playoff, was before play stopped at the Players. He had been playing maybe as well as anybody on the tour, but he had been gone for a while because of injury. He had a bad wrist injury that threatened his whole career. So it's not a name that people have been talking about. Anyway, all of a sudden, we were talking about Xander Schauffele and Murakawa, and all of a sudden, Berger nudged up there with them, says Chuck Culpepper, at 15 under par, tied for the lead. He did that with a gorgeous approach from 145 yards on number 18, followed by a 10-foot putt straight down the Confidence Boulevard.
All right.
Where did you come up with that? Can you explain this to me? The
I've
Confidence Boulevard?
That. I've forgotten. Right. Well, it did go right in the middle of the cup.
Yeah, I know what it did, Chuck. I'm trying to figure out how you described it that way. It's so great.
It didn't piddle around with insecurity and uncertainty, you know? It didn't go here and there and, you know.
It went straight down the Confidence Boulevard. I'm just...
It did.
But this is what I mean when I read that. We have heard a million times from people, right in the heart, or, you know, different phrases. I'm sorry, I've just never heard it put quite that way. And it really resonated with me. Can you explain in the couple of minutes we have left just what it was like with the testing procedures and everything? And we should say, luckily, the thing we all worried about, there were no positive tests, right, at this tournament.
I kind of find that remarkable.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just really didn't expect that, actually.
Considering what else we've seen coming out of Texas here today, even.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, when the lockdowns all started, I was living in New York. And so I learned to live it one way. Mm-hmm. You know, the 6-foot thing is just a constant consideration.
Right.
Then I got here to Texas. It is not lived at all that way. You know, there's few masks. Masks are not required inside stores like they are in New York or Miami or whatever. And people, there's a lot of life going on here that looks like it used to look in 2019. So I was kind of startled because I know, you know, some of the people involved in the bubble, as they call it, which they call the people who were on the course, counting players and caddies and more, you know, had gone out to crowded restaurants and so on. And I don't know what that means in terms of transmission, but I just found the fact that there wasn't, I found it really interesting that the number was zero.
Well, hopefully nothing will happen. Of course, if they were out and about on this weekend, we'll see, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, nothing happens. I mean, as we keep saying, this is not over by a long shot. So hopefully we have our fingers crossed that everything will be okay. Where do you go to now, Chuck, if you don't mind me asking?
Belmont States.
Okay. Back to New York.
This will be my first flight, so I'm sorry about that helicopter up there.
No, that's okay.
Just coming to pick you up, take you to the...
All right, cool. We'll have, you know, as we are used to saying, the final jewel in the Triple Crown. Oh, wait, it's not. As always, we can't wait to read what you have to write, and you're just... We love you more than you know, Chuck Culpepper. That's all I'll say.
Thank you so much. I love you more than you love me. So.
Not.
There we are.
Okay. We'll talk to you very soon. Thanks,
okay,
pal.
Thank
Be
you.
Safe.
Okay.
See ya. Wow. He's just the greatest. All right. That's it.
That's the show.
One down without Jimmy.
One down.
Four to go.
More than that. He'll be back Wednesday next week.
Wait a minute. I thought it was just this week.
A week and 2 days. We will be over at Critter Control next Wednesday on his return.
A week from Wednesday.
A week from this coming Wednesday.
Okay, that's not next Wednesday. I'm just saying it's not. Yes, next Wednesday is 2 days from now.
Let it go. Nobody thought I meant he would be back in 2 days. I said he'd be back next week.
Then say a week from Wednesday. Yeah. I'm not letting go of this. I am
Wednesday.
Drawing a line.
He'll be back next Wednesday.
It's been a lot. Here we go. Now, I have to stay, though, because there's nobody else here.
Ah.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It's The Drive, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300 and 92.5.